Hi, thanks for listening to Mommies Are Us podcast. We are back. I am Robin, the hostess with the most in the end. This is
Miss Jazz.
And I'm Nee. And we have a special guest, my fiance, James. And he's going to tell y'all a little bit about himself.
My name is James from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a finance manager at Benton Nissan, Columbia. Your friend in the car business. So if you're in the market for a new pre-owned vehicle, we're the superstore. Come see us. Got what you need. But
yeah, you want to talk about how we met?
Okay, so at the time I was selling cars at Action Nissan in Nashville, and I had sold a car to a lady that worked with Tanisha at Vanderbilt. And I asked her if she got any friends, you know. And she was like, yeah, I got somebody your age. The lady was a little older. So she put Tanisha on the camera. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, that's she fire. You know?
No, yes. Actually, you was trying
I was playing like my homie. I was acting like he wanted to, you know, he wanted to get on with somebody. But then I seen her, and I'm like, oh, no, that's mine, you know. So
mine.
Nah, he's not really feeling her. I'm like, but just send me her number anyway, you know, I'll give it to him. But really, I kept it for myself. So I hit her up, you know, next thing you know, called her. And the first time we hung out, we just, you know, we clicked instantly. We were just chilling, talking, like, for hours, just talking. And, you know, I could tell by the way she looked at me, like, I was telling her my goals and my dreams. And I could tell by the way she looked at me, you know, that she really believed in me. So from there, like, I knew I was going to be with this woman, so.
Like, I always said I didn't believe in love at first sight, but really, like, as soon as he, like, within the first 5 minutes, I said, I'm gonna marry this man. Is that not crazy?
No, I mean, y'all here.
You know, with so many people I know who are engaged or married, they say it happens like that.
Yeah.
Really? And so that's why I'm like, I know I ain't never met my husband. I've never felt that before. That's beautiful,
no,
though.
Really.
No, it's like definitely, it's a different, like, you know, if you've dated people, you know, like, I'm not going to marry this woman. I'm just, you know, hanging out, whatever. But when you see a certain woman and, like, y'all have a certain connection, you just instantly know, like, yeah, like, this is the one, you know. People say it's make-believe, but, like, I really felt that feeling, like, man, this is the one, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I love this woman, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't even know her like that, really. But, yeah, it was like that. You know?
I love.
I can't wait to go to the wedding. Y'all make sure y'all invite me.
We got you.
Yes. Well, I can ask this question. It was really a neat question, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Since you guys are a blended family,
mm-hmm.
What are some challenges do you guys, like, have?
You want to start?
This is...
Okay.
All right.
So,
you can answer the question, too.
Yeah, you can answer. So,
no, you there.
You there, like, what?
So, like, as far as a blended family goes, like, the advice I would give, like, any man, like, if you're planning on doing something like that, you have to be, like, sure, you know, that you want to be with this woman. Because when we met, you know, I knew that, okay, she has a child by somebody else. At the time, you know, Jaden was, what, 1 year old? Like, 1.5, if that. So, okay, he was very young, you know. So I knew that there was going to be challenges. Some of the challenges we face are, you know, one, you have to get comfortable with that child, because if she's not comfortable with leaving him with me, you know, that means there's work that needs to be done. Like, that's a big challenge. Just first overcoming the being able to be comfortable around the child and making the other parent, who's that's their biological child, making sure that they're comfortable with your child as far as, you know, disciplining. Because I had to, you know, tell her at some point, like, look, either you're going to let me have full reign and control just like you do, this ain't going to work. Because
it was hard at first.
Yeah.
Like, when we first got together, I remember, like, every time, like, if he'll do something or he'll be crying or something going on, like, she'll rush into the room, like, to make sure, you know, wasn't nothing going on. I'm like, relax. Like, I'm not going to hurt this boy.
But
like,
that's also, like, a mommy.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because you don't know how people is. People is crazy. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, like, you can't
just
leave your kid with anybody. But, you know, I had to prove myself over and over. Like, look, like, I'm treating him just like my child, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing is I have a son that I had before her. So we were both doing that at the same exact time, like, making sure we're both comfortable and learning each other and making sure each child was comfortable with each other, with us alone, and things like that. So a big challenge is discipline, you know, being able to discipline them, and also dealing with the person that they had a child with before. You know, that's a big thing. Like, if you can't be cordial, and, you know, me personally, you know, I like to kind of set the boundaries and the rules up front. So, like, with them, too, like, I want to have a conversation. I had a conversation with the dude, you know, just to let him know, like, so he know how I'm coming. You know what I'm right. saying? So know what kind of man I am around his child, and, you know, same thing. So it's just, that's a big issue, is dealing with the other person and knowing, like, how to handle that situation.
What do you think, Nee?
I mean, I definitely agree. It's definitely hard to learn how to, I'm not going to say it's hard, but it's different. Learning another child, especially if they're older.
Yeah.
Learning another child, making a connection with them, a bond. I feel like that's very important. Like, just making a bond, having that connection. Like, I still try to, like, with Jordan, our oldest, I still try to do things with just him and I. You know?
Okay, because he's still getting to know you as well.
Right. Yeah. Like, even though we've been together almost 5 years, we still, you know, still getting to know each other because he's not with us every single day. So, I don't know. That was like a challenge, but we all, like, just kind of meshed well. Like,
yeah.
My son, Jaden, like, at the time when it was just me and Jaden, and then him and Jordan, like, we all just meshed well.
I'm like, y'all definitely were supposed to be. No, I was just thinking that, like, how do both y'all start with a J?
Everything
like,
just meshed well.
It's like y'all basically like a matching puzzle piece. Like, I feel like y'all basically was supposed to connect.
Yeah, yeah. So I could definitely feel that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just connect, like, bonding with the child and all of that, because you want them to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I want his mom or whatever to be comfortable. So.
How was that getting to know each other, like, other parent?
So, our situation is different, right? Okay. Because, one, like, my son's mother, my oldest son's mom, it wasn't like that for us. Like, we weren't, like, together for years and had a baby mm-hmm. and things. Like, it was a situation to where we had a child. Okay, I had to step up, you feel me, and take care of my business. So, it wasn't a relationship, you feel me? So, he was 6 when we got together, so... Me and her didn't have much communication at all. I was going through her mother. So, to get my son every weekend or every other weekend, I was going through her mother. So, they never had no confrontations. Like, it was never, like, arguing between them two. Like, never. So, it hasn't had to be that, which is, you know, cool with me because it's been smooth. Like, she's never had an issue with Tanisha coming and picking Jordan up from her. Like, it's never been nothing. So, with Jaden's father, you know, and I ain't gonna really just get too deep into it.
We don't want everybody be y'all.
Right.
We don't want y'all. It seems like it might have been a little difficult.
Yeah, like, not even just difficult, like, for me, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know, like, it was a difference because they dated, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So, you know, I don't have no, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, like, I don't feel inferior whatsoever, so. I'm comfortable with who I am, so I know, you know, what I do and what I'm supposed to do. So him, like, as a person, didn't bother me whatsoever, but I did need to let him know, you know, the things that were acceptable and unacceptable on, you know, my behalf and this family, how I'm running. So that was a situation, you know what I'm saying?
You got a man.
That's very important. That's very, very important because a lot of times it's always a stigma of the child's other parent wanting to be like, well, no, you ain't finna do this with my child. You ain't finna do this. So I think it's important to come in and be like, look, I know I ain't his biological daddy, but he in my house.
Right. Yeah, and sure. So that is true.
If
sure.
I can buy him clothes, I can tell him sit at that. And then you wear my shoes. I think this, and it's good to establish that early. So, like, now that y'all are, like, getting married and planning the wedding, it's no confusion because it was established back when.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, I think this.
But it was never no situations like, oh, well, you know, you don't need to be putting your hands on him. Nothing like that because I was with Jaden since he was 1 year old. So I raised this young man. You feel me? Like, I raised this little boy. So, you know, he called me daddy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He called his other daddy daddy, which that don't bother me. I'm not looking to, you know, prove I'm the bigger man, you know, or I do this, I do that. That's not my personality. That's not who I am, you know, so... I'm not no man that's gonna try to stop another man from seeing his child. I've never done that, stood in between their time. Like, I would never, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not like that, you know, because I think every man deserves time with his child and he deserves a second chance, you know what I mean? So, that's kind of how that went, and it was pretty easy.
So, do you think not having a father can be detrimental to how a man views women, marriage, or relationship?
Definitely. Because, like, even to this day, right? So just growing up, I grew up with my mom and my dad in the same house. You know what I mean? So they've always been together, been married. So I grew up seeing those things, like, you know, those Southern values, you know, like, you know, we wasn't rich, but we wasn't dirt poor. You know what I mean? We always had enough. You know what I mean? So I grew up seeing, like, my daddy cutting the grass every weekend, my daddy going to work every single day, my daddy disciplining us, my mama going to work every day, cooking, my daddy also helping cooking, you know, my mama helping outside. Like, I saw both sides. So, like, I was raised with a certain amount of, you know, ideas and ideology that, you know, it's a team effort, you know. But then also, I have a sensitive side because I was with my mom. But I also have a very strong personality because of my daddy, you know what I'm saying? So, I feel like I'm balanced. Whereas if you're raised with just a mother, to me personally, now it's not every case. I'm going to try to speak broadly as possible because it's not every case. But a lot of men who raised with just their mom, they have a more sensitive side because they take things more personal. They react to stuff and just flip off, you know what I mean? And, you know, they don't have a certain level of control. And they also don't know what they should do as a man. So it's like when they get with a woman, sometimes they don't know that they supposed to be taking the trash out and they should never let her. Like, when I got with Tanisha, she was used to doing everything herself. And they used to make me mad. Like, we used to go to the grocery store and she'll be grabbing the bags. I'm like, why is you grabbing it? Like, move. Like, you gotta let me. You know what I'm saying? And she'd be like, I have to get used to that. Like, she ain't never pumped gas around me ever. Like, she ain't took out nobody's trash. She ain't cut nobody's grass. Like, I would never. I don't let her do nothing because it's like, I handle. I don't care how tired I am. I'm gonna get up and handle it. You know, so I feel like a lot of men, especially our generation, are missing that. Because a lot of our generation was raised by women alone. And they did the best they could. But, you know, in my personal opinion, a woman can't be no father. She don't know how to, she don't have everything in her that a man has. You know, like, we're made differently. So that's why we're supposed to be paired together to teach the child each side of the thing. You know, so I just feel like that does, you know, hurt young men these days because they don't have that upbringing to where they know they're supposed to handle this certain business. And they know how to also be, you know, sensitive for with a woman, but also show his strength through sensitivity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, yeah. And a lot of men don't even understand what that may mean, you know. But, you know, I wish
we could have had, like, another male here that didn't have, or that was just raised by their mom.
To see the contrast.
Yeah.
But I think we all know so many of them.
I thought definitely.
That we can have to just tell by even just, like, as simple as, like, your demeanor. Right. Yeah. You can tell, like, okay, my man said his daddy in the house. You know what I'm saying? You kind of, like, got an idea of, like, this is what a man should be, and this is what. Right. So many people don't know that it's like, that's why I constantly have to catch myself by us. We all boy moms. So right. I have to constantly, you know, it's that stigma of, like, a black mother with her son kind of coddling her son, especially if the dad is not in the picture 24/7. So I have to constantly catch myself, like, one day this is going to be somebody's husband and father. Yeah. Right. So the things that I don't like and the men that I've dated, I know it stemmed from their mama. So
and that is so true.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm constantly, like, telling myself, okay. Like, I had to pop my son the other day, and he really did deserve it. Mm-hmm. But it tore me up. And then when I called his dad, he said, why did you feel away about that? He deserved it, you know? And so, like, mom was like, it starts now. He's only two, but it starts now. He needs to know, like, that's a no.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. You're definitely a man's man. Yeah. When you walk, when the way that you sit here and just having your presence, I'm like, okay, this is not, you definitely giving me, like, the energy you bringing up, I'm like, okay, this is the man's man, like, and that's good. That's protection, that's security, and I think that's what a lot of women, when they look into a man, I don't know you, but I'm getting that energy right now just sitting across from you, so happy for you, can't wait for the wedding.
And so I'm gonna read Mia's other question. Shout out to Mia. She getting it today, baby. Come
on. That last question was Mia's question too. Yes,
So what did your father teach you that molded you into the man that you strive to be?
Just to, like, touch on a few things, like, you know, and I love my dad because, like, I called my daddy the other day. You know, I told him, like, dang, I appreciate you for always being there for me. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing, like, every football game, every basketball game, I could look into the stands and see my dad. You know, and I'm proud.
And that's important.
I'm proud. Yeah, that's important, like, that he was there. You know what I'm saying? And he taught me one thing is about a lot of men don't understand this concept, but being responsible for your actions. Like, my daddy always told me, you know, whatever it is you choose to do, you should, one, always know the repercussion and the cause is going to come behind it. And make your decision based on if you're willing to accept the good and the bad. Like, if you choose to go out here and sell drugs or do whatever you think you want to go do, you should know what come behind that. You know, death, jail, this and that, being hurt, fighting, shooting, whatever's gonna come. You should be able to know and accept that. So if it does happen to you, ain't no running from it. Be a man and stand there on your 10 toes and handle the business. So I always live my life like that. Like, if I have something and I make a decision, because I haven't always made the best decisions, like, the man I am here today, like, a lot of it's because of Tanisha, you know. I changed completely because I knew I had to change to be with her. Like, I wasn't always doing right, you know what I'm saying? And but the decisions I made, I knew, okay, well, this might happen if I do this. And I decided, well, I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to take whatever come with it, you know. And a lot of men want to do something and throw a rock and hide their hand, you know what I'm saying? And that's not respected. Like, you can't be that way. Like, if you do something, you got to stand on it. Like, when I had my first son, you know, I was like scared, you know, daddy, what I'm going to do? Like, I'm 17 years old. I'm a little baby. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, daddy, what I'm going to do? What I'm gonna do? He like, well, hell, you going to raise this baby, because I'm not raising him for you, but you're not going to run. That's what you're not going to do. And he told me that straight face to face. And then that reasserted me and put that confidence back in me. Like, okay, like, I got to handle my business. You know what I'm saying? So that's something. The way he cared for my mom's, like, him, like, showing love to her and always respecting her. Like, I ain't never seen my daddy put his hands on my mama. Like, if they had some words, they were doing it in the room with the door closed. You know what I'm saying? I would be able to hear them. Like, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I knew they was having some words. But then they would get to an agreement or whatever it was. They may argue or whatever, but never in front of us. You know, and I think, and now that I have my own children, I realize that that's important. Because arguing in front of them and bickering in front of them, you know, and I mess with her all the time in front of them, but I be having to cut it back because they don't know if we playing sometimes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that can program them to say, okay, it's okay to do this or that, or talk to a woman a certain way. You know, and I had to learn to control my words and things like that in front of them, and we could talk in person by ourselves. You know, that's a big thing to me as well. But, you know, just always standing up as a man and handling your business and having no excuses for what needs to be done. Like, my daddy went to work every single day. Never complained one time, you know. My daddy worked in factories. He's still working factories, you know what I'm saying? So he always told me, like, you know, you got to handle your business and take care of your family no matter what. There ain't no being tired. There ain't no, I don't feel like it. It's like, it got to get done. So what you complaining for? You made your bed, so lay in it, you know?
I agree.
That's for sure. You know, I got a story.
No, baby, what? I definitely got a question. Story. Yeah. I'm going to ask Jasmine a question right now.
I know I was going to ask it, but I thought it was kind of the first question you asked. Kind of the same thing. Well, I guess you said a blended family.
Yeah, I said a blended family. Look at us reading the text message. Right. What has been the biggest challenge so far in fatherhood?
The biggest challenge?
Yeah, and you said you had your first child at 17.
Yeah, so that's a big transition. Yeah. From teenager to father. Woo.
Yeah, it was like right away I had to, like, you know, go get it. And I'm just like, I mean, the biggest challenge, I mean, okay, like, mentally or, like, just in life?
Just, you know, tell us what it, come on, okay, just tell us.
Like, I'll start with in life in general, like, my actions. Realizing that they always watching me. Like, every time I turn around, like, Jaden, like, he used to, like, when I was, like, he would follow me to the bathroom, and I'd be brushing my teeth, and I see him right there, like, doing it like me, you know what I'm saying? And, like, Jaden too, whenever I used to be cutting the grass at the old house, he had a little play lawn, or Carter do that, a little play lawnmower. I'd be cutting the grass and I'd look up and he pushing his little play lawnmower just like me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I got to realize, and it clicked on me like, man, everything you do, they watching. The way I walk, the way I talk, how I carry myself, you know, the things I say, like, they going to repeat it. You know what I'm saying? So I'd be thinking, okay, how do I want them to be in the world when they not with me or when they get mm-hmm. older? You know, I got to learn how to, you know, teach them to look a man in his eye when he talking. Like, if I'm getting on to them and they look away, I say, look me in my eyes. You know, I make them look me in my eyes. They look me in my eyes. Don't run from it. Look at me. You know, because that teaches them to look everything straightforward and address it head on. Don't be turning your eyes and being afraid of no man. You know, look me in my eyes. I don't want you afraid of me, but I want you to understand, like, this is a different tone that I'm giving you right now. Like, this ain't a playful tone. I'm serious. So I want them to understand those differences and how I conduct myself with other people outside. You know, because one lady, you know, I had got mad at her at Walmart. She tried to play me. Like, you know how they check your receipts and stuff, oh, you know. God. This lady checking my receipt, okay, and she going all through all the bags and stuff like it, and then she, like, it's some tissue at the bottom. And she looking through at the tissue. I can cuss on here.
Yeah.
Like, she looked, I don't see the tissue. And I'm like, I ain't stealing no motherfucking tissue. Like, move. Like, come on. Now you taking up all
you
my...
You know what gets me with that? If I got a basket full of stuff, yeah. You're saying I'm stealing one thing. I gotta pay $2.50. Yeah. I'm gonna sell
something that costs $7. I'm like, tissue. I'm like, man, I ain't stealing no motherfucking tissue. Give me my shit. And I snatched my thing and walked out. And I'm looking. They looking at me like... And I'm like... Oh man, you know, I'm sorry, y'all. You know, you ain't supposed to talk to nobody like that, yeah, but she kept playing with me, you know. So yeah, like, I have to be mindful of them things. It's hard because, you know, but it comes in controlling yourself. Like, I be having to control my emotions, you know, because you can't let people change your emotions for you. Yes. You know what I'm saying? You can't give them that right. Like, nobody has that right. You had that right, you know. Yeah. Only you. So mentally though, like you know, things I think about as far as what's being hard for me is realizing I'm responsible for these men's life. Like, their entire life is on my hands. So if they fail in life, their blood is on my hands. You know what I'm saying? Like biblically, that's what it says. You know, your child's, you know, future. If you fail them and they fall short due to lack of teaching and knowledge, it's on you. So like, I realized, like, man, like, I have to mold them to be ready for life. And they're very young. Our kids are young, you know. So
that's what I was gonna ask too. Can you tell us like the age range?
Okay, so Jordan just turned 11 at the end of October. Jaden's 5, Carter's 3, and then Carson is still hanging out and so he'll be out soon.
I like how it's JC.
Yeah.
Like two J's.
Nah, it's two K's.
Oh, two K's. Yeah, I'm sorry. JK.
Jordan, Jaden, yeah. Carter, Carson, K's.
Okay, yeah. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
JK.
Just kidding. We're gonna have some more kids. Just kidding. We
done. I don't think D-Bo will eat D-Bo after this, huh?
No.
This
might be it. You're gonna be spoiled, girl.
We thought this was our girl.
She's just a boy, man.
What if it's a girl?
And they come out.
Yeah, but they done did a lot of, excuse me, a lot of photo
images.
That's
a unisex name, too. So
Carson, yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Just let it go. You might just be one of those parents that's like...
Super surprised.
Yeah.
We need the 3D, though. I don't know.
Y'all probably... It's a boy. Just let it go. It's a boy.
Get used to being... But you know what? I would love... I feel like I would love that. Being the only woman in the house.
I used to say I wanted to be the only woman in the house.
Yes, me too.
I love my boys. I love my boys. It's just so... It's always loud.
Yes. I know.
Sometimes it's just like, y'all, like, chill. Like, they are...
Girls are more chill.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't know.
Girls are definitely more chill. Like, yeah.
You
want
to do one more?
Oh, yeah, we can do one more question. You want to ask the last question?
Well, shout out to Mia again. But this is, since you're in finance, this is like kind of like a finance question, I guess. How do you feel about companies giving an option for people to buy now or pay later? Do you think this will increase debt within society?
Damn, she getting deep.
I know, it's me here.
I forgot the episode was Fatherhood and Finance.
Yeah. I know, we stuck on Fatherhood.
Okay, so the question is, repeat it, how would I what?
How do you feel about companies giving an option for people to buy now or pay later? Do you think this will increase debt within society?
Well, yeah, because you had to think about it. And like, when I started doing finance 2 years ago, I'm like, okay, what am I really doing here? I'm printing paper for these folks, right? They're taking out lines of credit. This is all imaginary. There's no money, there's no transactions. 90% of the time, no one puts money down. Typically, they do zero down, right? So I'm printing these paper that are considered cashable contracts to the bank, okay? So we have the collateral, which is the vehicle. The customer has the credit, and the bank has the money. So what happens in that transaction is the customer comes to us, select the vehicle. My job is to get them approved for that loan. So let's say they loan them $25,000, okay? Well, they loan them that amount at an agreed upon interest. Now, at that interest rate, that's a finance charge. They're being charged over the term. I won't get too deep because it gets a little confusing, but over the term, they're being charged that amount of money that's spread out. So you pay for a certain portion of your monthly payment is from the car, a portion is due to the interest, right? So you're borrowing at a $20,000 loan, you might be borrowing $27,000 depending on your interest, right? Well, no money's being swapped except for the bank is actually sending us real funds, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're sending them real funds, but everything is really just paper. So really it's just imaginary. So you are getting a car now and you're paying later for it. Yes, of course it's going to increase debt, but that's kind of like the system that we is set in America. Like,
yeah,
you technically don't own just about anything. Like, and the thing is my opinion is to not finance such small things, because people will finance like a TV. You know what I'm saying?
Where to fit
it? You know, right, right. And, that, and if y'all ever read, like, if you ever sit down and read an entire contract, it'll blow your mind. You'd be like, what the hell? I signed up for this, like, 130% interest. Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, that should be illegal. But it's not, you know?
It
so
really should.
It should definitely be.
It should be illegal. So, yeah. Because our legal limit on financing for cars is 29.99% in Tennessee. So we can't charge you over 30% of interest, and that is astronomical. They should be putting people. That, you should go to jail for charging somebody. You know what I mean?
Like that is
that's
crazy.
Robbery. But you know, think about it. Our homes that we own. You don't own that house. At any point, if you stop making payments, they will come and repossess mm-hmm. that. That's, they're going to take that collateral back, and sometimes make more money off of it by reselling it than they did from you at all. So I mean, yes, it increases debt, and it puts you on a path of never owning, always paying towards. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're in a cycle. So, and they keep you in the cycle because if you pay everything cash, right, you won't have any credit at all. So, but when you need a big purchase, you're going to need some credit, but you haven't established
any credit.
A lifestyle of debt. So, yeah. Which is, I feel like everything's turned upside down in America. You know, everything's exact opposite the way it should be. Like, you know, if you don't have no debt, we won't loan you any money. But that means I've been paying everything cash, so I'm technically good for it. I'm better for it than the person who has all this debt.
Yeah.
Technically, but they flip everything upside down in America. So mm-hmm. I feel like the bottom will cave in eventually, because if everybody owes and nobody owns, you know what I'm saying, except for 1%, eventually it's going to give out. Like, it can't keep going on. Like, they give out loans all the time for these cars and houses and all that, and a lot of them never get paid back because when you trade a car in, you owe money on, it just keeps rolling. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It does not go away. So that's the thing. I think it definitely is going to fall eventually. Mm-hmm. How soon? I don't know.
Not in the next 20 years.
Right. But it ain't enough money. Like, it ain't there. They're giving credit and all this. This is imaginary money.
That's right. What I was about to say. It's not real money. It's so not, it's like, so eventually somebody going to pay something.
Somebody's yeah. going to come try to collect. You know what I mean?
Because, yeah.
I mean, we're in debt to what? To China? Trillions?
Yeah.
If they want to come collect, but can they really come over and say, where's our money? No. You no, know what I'm saying? They not. So really, I don't think we ever going to pay them back. You know, things like that happen. So these big companies, if they want to come collect, now they can actually come to your door and say, give me my car. If you don't want to give it, okay, I'll take the car.
Yeah.
Y'all got to get out the house. We're going to bring the sheriff down there. Get out the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, just speaking on that, at the end of the year, you know how everybody had pushed off their loans? To where they could, you know, put them at the end of their mortgage, or they had to pay a lump sum at the end of the
like
6 months.
That's going
to
be horrible.
People are going to start at the end of December. I don't know which dude it was in the Trump administration, but he's going to let it lapse. So at the end of the year, all of these creditors are going to come diving down people's throats for their money. And a lot of people were pushing their mortgage back 6 months, and then it's being expected to pay 6 months worth of payments.
And it's horrible. We didn't get enough money from
stimulus. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of people went out and spent their stimulus check to boost the economy. Okay. Well, you got, let's say your mortgage is $1,000. 6 months, that's $6,000 you got to come up with right now. They want it now, or you're evicted. Like, that's not going to work. A lot of people are going to be getting their stuff taken, which, you know, praise God that we was able to, you know, thrive through all of this. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's just, it's crazy to me.
I have a question. So, we talk about finance. What's some finance tips or skills that your father taught you? Because I think finance is big. Because when, it's so crazy because I post something. And this is another question I want to ask you, too. After that question. Two questions. One of the questions is, the other question is, how do you feel when women say that they want their man to be the provider of the house? And what does that actually mean when somebody say, I want him to be a provider? Because that doesn't also mean always finance.
Right.
We have to stop thinking that. Of course, we think of that because that's what your parents, your grandparents, we're not in the 50s, 60s.
Right.
Most likely, your man's not going to be able to pay for every single bill in the house.
Right.
Not in the way of society right now.
Correct.
So,
right.
How do you feel? We can go to the first question, then you go to the second question.
The first question is, what does it mean to me to be a provider?
No. The first question was what your father taught you about finance and how to handle your money, especially when it comes down to dealing with your family.
Okay, so me personally, my dad never sat down with me and explained to me how finances work, and that's a big thing in the Black community. Like, I feel like a lot of us don't teach our children like exact. They tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, stay away from that. Like, my mom and dad always tell me, stay away from credit cards.
Never told you why.
Yeah, never told you why. They bad. They gonna get you in trouble. I'm like, why? Like, so, until, like, literally recently, I never had no credit cards, and I didn't understand how they worked, nothing. So I had to educate myself. I'm like, that's not a bad thing if it's used properly. Use it, right. And that's like anything, you know, like anything is good unless it's used improperly, then it turns bad, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, but my dad never sat down and said, this is how you budget out, or this is how you work a checkbook or balance a checkbook. I learned that in school, of course, but they don't even teach that in school no more, probably.
Not checkbooks, probably. No, I took economics, but I think I learned how to do a checkbook, but right. I'm pretty sure nobody's. I have checks, but I don't even use them. No, I just got them just to get them.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people don't use checks. They don't carry. I found only older people still carry checks. And young people, we don't.
I was
have
about
it.
To say, when I started a new bank account, they never even sent me checks.
Yeah,
so yeah, they don't even do that.
They don't even offer. They going, everything they is going to cash. Like, but no, so like, no, my dad never taught me, so I had to kind of bump my head quite a few times before I realized, okay, like, how does this work? How can I? And the thing is, I ain't even perfect now. Like, I've just always went on, and this ain't the smartest thing to do per se, but, you know, I've always went on, okay, I need to know how many bills I have per month. Okay, so I'm in a commission-based position, right? Uh-huh. So I get salary plus commission. Well, I just go say, okay, well, I know we need this much per month. Okay, that's going to be covered no matter what. But we got this, this, and that. Okay, I need to go get this much more this month. Like, I just program myself to continue to get more and more and more. But that's the thing. Everybody don't work at a job like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people are afraid of commission, because you can either fall flat on your ass or you can make a lot of money, you know, and it's on you. So, you know, that's why I like being at a job, because it's based on your, you know, output. But my mom either, they never really taught me, like, how to control my finances. I've been having to learn that as I go, but it's kind of been accelerated because I got children. So I've never, like, when I was by myself, I just spent all my money. When I was selling cars by myself, I spent all my money. Like, Jordan needed what he needed, I took care of that, and then I blew it all every single time because I knew I could go get it back. You know what I mean? I ain't had nobody else to look after, but taking on a family, it made me say, okay, sit your ass down, bro. Like, you need to focus on, okay, what does she need? What are the kids needs? Okay, we know we're going to need groceries this many times per month, okay, twice a month, okay, I know I need that much money, so go ahead and throw that and take care of that. Like, but I've never been the one to go out and, you know, buy this and buy that and buy, like, I've always known to put priorities before fun. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of niggas will go and buy Air Jordans and all this and that, knowing that they have to take care of certain things, and now they don't have the money for the rent. You know, I've never been that person. Like, it's always rent, bills, food, family, gas. And then if we have extracurricular money, then go spend that properly or however we want to play with it, you know? So I've never been that guy to just blow it. But to give people and to other men, if you don't know this already, responsibility should come first. Fuck the shoes, fuck the video game, the PlayStation. Like, I don't care about none of that. Like, you can ask Tanisha, like, she happened to tell me to go buy stuff for myself. Like, I don't, like, I'll wear the same clothes for a long time. Until she be like, babe, like, no, we going to get some clothes for you. Like, because I don't care about that. I had to build that in myself, because I used to be the one that cared about, oh, I got to have this and that. And that. But when I got with her, like, you know what I'm saying, I realized that shit don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what no nigga think of me, how I dress, and if I'm cool, if I got all this and that. I don't care about that. What matters is what they think of me. So I will always put them first. And y'all need clothes. Okay, the kids need shoes. Cool. I ain't buying myself nothing. Like, I keep wearing my shoes. That's how my daddy was. Mm-hmm. That nigga still probably got shoes in his closet that he was wearing when we was kids. And I'm not lying. Like, but I guess you could say I learned that from him, because he always told me, son, I never cared about how I look. You know, I'm going to be decent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't no bum. You know what I'm saying? I'm decent swag, but I'm not no Ferragamo, Gucci this, Gucci Louis that. Like, I don't care about all that, bro. Like, I wear them regular Nikes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got Nikes on right now. They decent, cool Nikes, but I'm not wearing Air Jordans every day while my children barely eating, or, you know, they can't get no haircut, or they wearing Walmart shoes. Like, never in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, their priorities are first. But what was the second question?
The second question is, how do you feel when, you know, it was a Facebook post I shared about about provider, and, you know, it's this thing, like, y'all splitting bills with grown men out here. Like, it's so funny. And I shared it, and a lot of men were, like, commenting and stuff like that. And I'm like, well,
that always upsets the men.
It does.
It frustrates us, because it's like, okay, now, and I can see it on both sides as well. You know what I'm saying? I try to look at everything equally, because, you know, as a man, if he is a real man, do you really believe that he don't want to be able to provide everything? I mean, come on. We want to a real man wants to provide everything. I don't want her to work. That's my goal, is to keep and not even to just keep her in the house. I want her to be able to do what she wants to go do. You know what I mean? And enjoy her time, and you know what I'm saying, be able, and I will sacrifice my time for them. You know what I'm saying? So I want to be able to provide everything. And since we got together, of course, my goal has always been to increase my finances yearly. Like every year, it needs to go up. It needs to go up. How can I get it up? You know, what can we do to enhance ourselves? But as this new age, it's more expensive than it was, like you said, in the 50s and the 60s. Like, you're not going and paying a nickel for no milk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's $2. Like, things are high. Like, rent is mad high. You know what I'm saying? Mortgages are higher than they were. Like, older people, you know, they had mortgages that was $500. Like, if I was living back then, I would be wealthy. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I'll be running around with the bag. But, you know, it's like, the frustrating thing is women don't say, oh, you supposed to be doing this. Okay, well, the thing is, I could also look at you that way, because what are you doing to help this team? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm leading the team, I'm the point guard, scoring all the buckets, and you score every so often, really, I don't really want to hear you running your mouth about what I'm doing. Now, they probably dealing with, you know, men that sit on their ass and playing the game all day, and, you know, fake trappers, and, you know.
Yes, fake trappers.
Yeah, fake trappers want to sell a couple grams, and they, you know, we got it. We going up. Like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, sit back. That shit dead. I don't like that. Like, or, you know, people who be living these false lives, and a lot of it come from internet. Like, we don't base our life off the internet. Like, I stay off. I got Facebook, and that's it. Like, I don't got no Instagram. I don't got no Twitter. Like, I don't care about none of that. Like, the most important thing is getting to this money. So, you know, she knows she has that type of man. So that conversation has come up. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've had those discussions because, you know, I want to provide everything, and I don't want to. You have to. But hey, in this lifetime and the way things are right now, we got to work as a team. Like, you got to enhance your life and your goals and your things that you want to do. And I've got to back you on that. And I got to take some of my finances and put them behind you. We've done that. She's taking and gamble her money on me, like with my ideas. And no matter how many times we fail, we always have each other's back and participate. And we've always been able to help each other push our finances up to together. We've both increased our finances yearly, like together. Like, we focused on how we can move up together. So I would think my advice would be to, instead of putting, like, going against each other so much, work together. Because it's like on the internet, it's like we against each other, like men versus women. Like, niggas do this, and females can't even do this, and niggas can't even do this for they, but they want this. Like,
everybody just mad.
It's like so angry. Like, that's why I be like off of that. Like, I don't want to be thinking about that all the time. Like, I want to think about good things, you know. So, and that's a whole another, you know, conversation. Yeah. But like, online is like the energy online, I gotta stay away from it, because a lot of it's so untrue. Mm-hmm. The stuff they say on there is not true at all, but people will believe it because it's online. It's entertaining. It's entertaining. Yeah. But the thing that people don't realize is that although you may look at it as entertainment at first, constantly seeing something programs your mind to believe that.
Yes.
Thing. No matter what you say, see, or hear, constantly your mind will be programmed to believe it and actually start going towards those things, even they're negative or positive, you know. And that has to do with a lot of different, you know, subconscious mind type thing. But, you know, I stay away from those things. Like, anything I don't want in my life, I don't even look at it, don't read it, don't hear it. You can ask her. I had to take out a lot of rap music out of my life. Because I realized what it did to me was, you know, start pushing me towards acting violent and wanting to. Like, if somebody say something against what I'm saying, like, in my mind, I will be getting violent with them. Mm-hmm. But eventually it's going to come out and I'm going to do something to somebody. And I'm like, whoa, where is it stemming from? Oh, it's the music. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things like the music, you know, it tells us to cheat and do this and spin the bag and run the bag up and, you know, have sex with strippers. And it's, men's minds is so confused these days that the last thing that we're thinking about is priorities and how to provide. We're so focused on doing, you know, bad things and doing it the backdoor way, opposed to focusing on this woman and these kids. Like, mm-hmm. So I try to stay away from those things so I can focus on them and only you know, listen and think about things that are going to help benefit my life. You know what I mean? So,
come on, take an inventory. Yeah. You don't realize how many people just don't even think about stuff like this. Nah. So many people don't know why they're angry. So many people don't
know. They're scared to.
Yeah, how social media. So many people just don't even take the time to be like, so why am I like this?
Right.
And I'm that type of person. So that's why a lot of people get frustrated because I be wanting to know. I'm like, so why are you like this? You don't know why you like that. You like, girl, get out my damn
I'm glad that you said that a lot, especially with the with rappers and stuff, because I've been listening. I think Sweetie had posted something on Twitter about, like, if he not paying your bills and buying you a Birkin bag, and like, you have to think about, like, how many men can actually afford a Birkin bag?
I looked them things up. They from $12,000 to $20,000.
Like, the average man
was six figures, y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like,
they're not that cute to me.
They're not that cute. I know, and I like bags, but I don't see myself ever. You can get one that look like at Marshalls. You know, it's just one of the things that, like you said, it's the internet that's like boosting it. And I do think that it does have a lot with music, what you watch on TV. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it could be your friends too. Like, you also have to limit yourself, because what I want for myself could be totally different than what Nee wants. Right. But a lot of times, people's opinions go like this, that it could, you start
confused. You don't know if it's your opinion or theirs.
Yeah. You don't know what the hell you thinking. So I'm so happy that you joined us. I think it was great. Yeah. Nee told me that you was going to be like, she going to want me back. I do want you to come back. We're going to do another podcast with you. And I think it was great. I'm so excited for y'all and the family, and I wish y'all the best.
Beautiful.
And all the blessings.
This is really good.
Yeah,
so. Appreciate it.
Y'all give me hope. Looking just like you was talking about the music and social media, I've been like, F these niggas. Ain't no real man out here. No, like, I got niggas. Okay. We got a unicorn in here. What are you doing?
Thank you for listening to Mommy's R Us podcast, and good night, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you listen.